Folks, we'll begin tonight and we'll sing together the hymn 390. Dear Saviour, thou art mine. How sweet the thought to me. Let me repeat thy name and lift my heart to thee. And then there's very precious words in the chorus. Mine, 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 I know thou art mine. Saviour, dear Saviour, I know thou art mine.
Stand to sing. And ask for his blessing upon tonight's service. Our God and Father, we approach the throne of heavenly grace through the matchless and the peerless name of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the man of thy right hand, our mediator and intercessor, the one who is our great heavenly high priest, who sits beside you as the one who is the go-between, the one who prays for us, the one who makes us acceptable with God. We approach thee through Christ our Saviour upon his merit, standing on redemption ground, pleading the merits of the blood as our only means of approach into thy presence. And what a joy and privilege it is to come to the midweek service to spend time together in the presence of God, worshipping thee, praising your glorious name in the singing of the hymns, and listening to your word. Thank thee for this opening note of victory in our hymn as we think of our relationship with Christ, that relationship that is saving, that relationship that is vital. We praise thee for the day that we were united to him in grace. We thank you that he is the true vine. We are the branches. We've been grafted in to the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise thee for that inseparable union that there is between Christ and his church. We thank you tonight that he loved us and he gave himself for us. And we can say, Saviour, dear Saviour, I know thou art mine. We thank you that we belong to the Lord. We're bought with a price. He shed his blood upon that center tree at Calvary, poured it out in a sacrificial offering for our sin, that we might be cleansed and made whole and fit for the eternal kingdom of God. And Lord, we thank you that it was at great cost that we were purchased. But we rejoice tonight that we are the Lord's. We are thine tonight. And we know that the sheep hear the shepherd's voice and they follow him. Help us, Lord, to follow Christ every day, to follow his holy will, to seek after the very center of his will, to know that every day we are in the center of that will. As we come to your word, even to read it ourselves and to meditate upon it, give us a listening ear to hear at any given moment what the shepherd is saying to us. And Lord, may we trust and obey and follow him wholeheartedly. We pray your blessing upon tonight's meeting. We commit ourselves to thee, the speaker who has come. We pray for Noel that you'll bless him as he stands here to give his report and to show the presentation. Thank thee for the work that he's involved in. Thank thee for the doors that have opened, even during COVID times when there were not so many opportunities to serve the Lord like in the past. And yet the Lord brought about mercifully those opportunities to go out into the community and have open-air meetings and preach Christ as he's freely offered in the gospel. Lord, as he talks to us tonight and tells us something of his ministry, the work that you've called him to, Lord, stand beside him. Give him words to say. May we be blessed indeed as we listen to what this dear man of God is doing here in Northern Ireland as he serves the living Christ. And we pray, Lord, that we will be challenged within our souls to pray for your child, to encourage him in the Lord. Make this a good meeting. A good meeting because the Lord is here. He's working in our hearts, doing that which is pleasing in his sight. Remember also the situation in Ukraine. We're praying for an end to this war. We're praying for peace and stability to be brought again. We're praying for a suffering people that the Lord will be with them in this conflict. And Lord, remember the displaced. Remember those that are on their way even to Northern Ireland and here to Ballymoney. We pray that thou wilt bless them and that thou wilt open up this door. You know what is needed regarding their visas to get them into the country. We just leave this matter with the Lord. We believe that God is in control. We believe in all the circumstances that our God has a perfect timing. And so we just hand the whole matter to the Lord tonight. And we pray that thou wilt undertake in their wait in Poland. We pray that you'll bless them as they're there together. Encourage them. And Father, when they come here, we pray that we will be a blessing to them. Remember the sick of the church. We commit them in love to thee. We pray for Mark. We pray for Joan, especially these two who are in hospital, that the Lord will be gracious to them in all the treatment that they're getting. Thank thee for our doctors and nurses and all that they do day by day. Bless them in the work that they do and guide them, Lord, continually. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to make the announcements just now. First of all, we bid you welcome in the Saviour's great name. It's good to see all who are here and all who are coming in. Great to have folks that are willing to come up to the front and encourage the preacher. So Beetle and young Beetle, just keep moving and come on up. Just take the example of our clerk of session and his wife. We welcome those that are listening in on the internet. Glad to have you as part of our meeting this evening. Friday night, the youth fellowship takes place at 8 o'clock and Aaron McCauley will be the speaker. Friday night is also the presbytery. It'll be in-house down at the Martyrs Memorial at 8 p.m. Saturday morning is the open air in the centre of the town at 11 a.m. And then on the Sabbath day we come to pray and that prayer meeting is 8 a.m. And you're always welcome. We encourage you to come and start the Sabbath day in prayer as a congregation together. Sabbath school, 10:30. The Bible class at 10:30, Mervyn will be bringing a message on the atonement of Christ, its necessity and meaning. And then the worship service at 12 noon. At this moment in time, we are planning to come back to our study from the Gospel of Mark. If our visitors from Ukraine arrive, and it's possible that it might take place on Saturday, that's what they're aiming for again. They're waiting on the visas, so that takes time. One lady out of the 34 got her visa yesterday, but that's not going to help the other 33, and they'll be travelling together. If that takes place, we will let you know. We'll send out a WhatsApp message, and so therefore the Sabbath day will be a little bit different. We'll have a welcoming service for the Ukrainian visitors. Now, after the service, it's the Lord's table. We omitted to mention that last Sabbath day, but please remember, we come to worship the Lord at the table that he has appointed for us to meet with him and to remember his death in the appointed means that Christ himself has given. And he exhorts you to come. He says, this do in remembrance of me. Family night is planned for the evening time at 7. And we have it in our diary for Victoria Salt to be here to sing, for me to preach. And remember the office bearers' time of prayer coming in 6 o'clock, and then our regular prayer meeting at 6:30. Refreshments will be served at family night. We've been doing this past couple of months, and I have a little list here just to say to our ladies, to encourage you to bring either scones, pancakes, buns, or bars, a small tray, whatever you're able to manage to bring that in. So we're going all out on Sunday night, not just the chocolate bar. Some people were very, very concerned about their diet, and all that we were giving them on a Sunday night were chocolate bars. So we're expanding to scones, pancakes, buns, which are always very good for a diet. The Bible conference starts on Monday night and goes through to the Sunday morning of the 10th of April. Patrick Baker, the minister of Newton Ards, is the speaker, and he is speaking on the overall subject, strength for the journey ahead. And you may have seen this advertised on Facebook. Share it, get it out there, let people know that it's taking place and plan to attend. The meetings will be here in this room. It may be that we have to switch on Tuesday night. I really discovered that Tuesday children's meeting will be taking place on Tuesday night at 7. And because it is the last one, it usually takes a little bit longer. And that'll be difficult to get everything switched over for you to come in to this room. So Tuesday night, just keep it in mind over to the church building. Bring a Friend is an outreach now for the Sunday school, and that is Sunday the 10th. That's the aim, to get the children to bring a friend on that particular Sunday school. That's Sunday week. And then we've mentioned these other things, the men's breakfast, Saturday the 23rd of April. Put them in your diary, these things that are taking place. The Sabbath school social, Friday the 29th of April. Family night in May, Kira Arnold is coming to testify. The ladies' fellowship, Wednesday the 4th of May, baptism service, Monday the 16th of May, Ballymoney show the 3rd and 4th of June, Sunday school outing the 11th of June, and Children's Day the 19th. These are all the announcements. We're going to sing Channels Only. It's the hymn 510. How I praise thee, precious Saviour, that thy love laid hold of me, thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might thy channel be. Channels Only. And that's what we want to be. I know that this man here tonight, our brother Noel, that's what he wants to be, as an evangelist under our mission board, a channel of blessing to our churches, our people, to the unconverted of this province, bringing them the message of Christ. And we all want to aim to be such a channel. Just flowing through me. If the Lord is flowing through you, you can be that channel of blessing. You pray to that end, even as we sing the hymn together.
Thank you.
Tonight is our missionary night. We have a missionary night once a month, and we always try to have a missionary speaker on that night. And we have special prayer for our missionary that comes particularly, and we pray for our missionaries, and we pray for revival on this particular Thursday night. It's always the last Thursday night of the month. So delighted to have our sister Noreen. She's not speaking tonight. Just put that in very quickly in case when I say about the real missionaries that are here. She's just got back from Uganda and getting acclimatized. I think we're all getting acclimatized to that very, very cold weather after the beautiful spell of weather that we had. And it's been very cold today, and she's come in tonight all hopped up as best as possible. But we have this man, and he's a local missionary and evangelist here in Northern Ireland, going about the province preaching Christ. And we're looking forward to what he has to say to us this evening. He's going to speak first, then he's going to show his DVD presentation. If you don't support a missionary monthly, we encourage you to do that if it's possible, even with just a small monthly amount. And there are these prayer cards you can take with you. And on them, there's a little section here. I would like to support Noel by providing for him. Oh, sorry, praying for him. You're going to provide for him the other way. Please. Praying for him or covenanting to give financial support. So these are two ways. And the important one really is to pray. But he does need support financially as well. And that's a matter between you and the Lord and what you're able to do. But we want you to pray for him as often as you can. And when he comes, he stands here, you see him, you hear the work. That puts it fresh in your mind. And it allows you then to pray for him intelligently. We go back a long way. We've known him for many, many years. He came with a student group to Oulton Broad, and that's going back a long, long time. And that student group came and did service for the Lord in Oulton Broad, where I was all those years ago. And then they travelled down to Devon, to Tavistock. We had been asked to start a work there, to hold a gospel mission, which the Reverend Hillis Fleming and I did at that time. And the students came with us. They did outreach work before the mission. So a week of outreach, and then they stayed a week for the mission. And then we finished the mission ourselves at the end of that. And those were memorable times. We had great opportunities going around Tavistock and presenting the gospel to the people. And with fond memories, good fun, good fellowship. You'll remember those times, Noel. So we'll ask the Lord's servant to come and speak to us tonight and tell us what's on his heart. Thank you.
Well, we want to thank Mr. Park for the warm words of welcome, and it's my great pleasure to be along tonight and to bring a report of my work for the Lord, an up-to-date report of what I'm doing for the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember that time, and I think, if I'm right, it was 1988. There you are. It wasn't too bad. I'm trying to get the figures going there and see when that was. That's a long time ago, and certainly it just shows how quickly time goes. We have only one opportunity as well, of course, to serve the Lord. That's for each one of us, and our life will soon pass. So it's wonderful to come along tonight. I just want to break my deputation into three parts, to bring a short message from the Bible, short up-to-date report from the field, and then I'm on the big screen. I never thought I'd be on the big screen, but that's the way it is nowadays. And there'll be a short presentation of my work here on a DVD. Now, I want you to turn in God's Word to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is my deputation address. Second Corinthians and the chapter 4. And we're going to read from verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. But we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of a knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. May the Lord bless that short reading of his word to all of our hearts. I want to just center our attention for a few moments on the verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, it says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." As you and I look at the life of the Apostle Paul in the Word of God, we see very plainly and simply, he was a man separated unto the gospel of God. He said that about himself in Romans 1 and verse 1. Here's a man had given up everything for the Lord Jesus Christ. His whole life was set to aside. And he could say with all of his heart, "For me to live is Christ." He was a man who had the possession of the gospel. You can see that in verse 3. He says, "It's our gospel." It's not that he is the origin of this message. No, no. But he himself and others have been given this great treasure, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to proclaim. And the Apostle Paul could say, well, it's our gospel. He had it in his hand, no doubt about this. But he had this great message in his heart. And he said, it's our gospel. You know, I'm glad I belong to a denomination that has the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are sometimes I have preached, and our brother's been over in England, he knows what England's like. And sometimes I have preached in England and Scotland to just a few people. I remember speaking one night in Scotland at my evening gospel meeting, and there was a woman on the organ, and there was a woman on one side of the church, and her husband was over there. I don't think there was any row, by the way. And that's who was at the meeting. And I had to get up, and I got up and I preached away as if there was 300 there, even though it was only 3. But I was so glad I had the gospel. This gospel of Jesus Christ, because I believe, like the Apostle Paul here teaches in the Word, that Jesus saves and his blood washes whiter than the snow. Are you glad tonight that you say we have the gospel? There are many denominations and there are many churches today, and they have many things within the walls of their building, but they haven't got the gospel. Well, I'd rather have a few people in front of me any night and have the gospel and to have the place packed. I was not proclaiming or not having the glorious message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. So we had the possession of the gospel. He had the preaching of the gospel. We preached Christ crucified. He believed in the power of the gospel. Remember the Apostle Paul said in Romans 1, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone which believeth." He saw and he proved by experience the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. He saw people converted. He saw nations transformed with this glorious message of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in his ministry, there was a problem with the gospel. And that's what we find in verse 3. There were times in his ministry the gospel was hid. And that's what he refers to here in the verse 3. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. And that's a problem we all face, Mr. Park, here in Ballymoney, and all of God's servants throughout our land. We face this problem. The gospel is hid. It's hid to them that are lost. And I want to say three things very simply. First of all, do we not see in this the hidden gospel? The hand of Satan. We don't have to go too far tonight to see who is hiding the gospel, because immediately here in the verse 4, he says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." Immediately after telling us about the hidden gospel, he tells us who sets out to hide it. Who is it? It's the devil. He throws a veil over this glorious message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a number, he sets out to hide it very quickly. Remember the Lord Jesus tells about the parable of a sower. The sower goes out and he sows his seed. And in Luke 8 verse 12, "There by the wayside are they that hear." And notice what he says, "Then Then cometh the devil and taketh the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But notice the connection. As soon as people hear this message, then cometh the devil. He acts immediately. No sooner is the gospel seed sown, he comes to take it away to hide it. He hides it intentionally. He's not playing the game. I'm at the grandfather stage now. And so sometimes I have to play with the grandchildren, and one of the games is hide and seek. We have to hide and seek. It's a game, of course. It's only a game. The devil is not playing a game. He's not playing a game. He knows what he is doing. He doesn't want people to hear this life-changing message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he sets out to hide it. He doesn't want people to be saved. Oh, they can go to church. They can say a few prayers. They can be a little bit religious. But he does not want them to hear this life-changing message of Christ. He hides it intentionally. And he hides it violently sometimes. You can read, of course, in the life of the Apostle Paul before his conversion, without turning to the passages, we realize he said himself that he persecuted this way even unto the death. He binded people, men and women. He cast them into prison. The devil was full of rage. He was behind all of this in hiding the gospel. And he hides it very subtly. You see that over 2 Corinthians chapter 11. It talks about the devil and the angel of light. You know what it says over in that particular chapter about his ministers? And then it talks about the message. Another Jesus. Another gospel. Another spirit. What has happened to the devil? It's so subtle in hiding the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He hides it subtly. He gives something else to people to proclaim. But it's a false message and it's a false gospel. So he hides it very subtly. And in our province today and throughout the world, we know, of course, the devil has accomplished this. He hides the gospel. He hides it very subtly. He confuses people. He blinds our mind, as it says in verse 4. The very, very thing that mankind needs to hear. The devil hides it. The devil, the hand of Satan is here. And we know we face that today. We go around towns today and preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know to many people this message, this great message of the gospel. It is hidden. The hand of Satan. And then can we say secondly here, there's a hell for sinners. But notice how he goes on. If the gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Now you know tonight, and myself and the Bible believe in church for many years, that people are lost naturally. Do you remember the Lord Jesus Christ said in Luke 19 and verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. You don't have to do anything to be lost. The people tonight outside of Christ in Ballymoney, they don't have to do anything to be lost. They are lost. As soon as they come into this world, they're born in sin and shaping iniquity. We know there are people today, they're lost naturally, they're lost intellectually. What I mean by that, they haven't got a clue about the gospel. You can talk to people. You talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. You can talk to them about sin. You can talk to them about the way to heaven. And they say, I just can't really understand it. You see, they're lost. But here's the point I want to put across to you tonight. If the gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost eternally. And I want that to be placed in everybody's heart tonight. If the gospel's hidden to people, they're lost forever. There's a hell for sinners. And the Bible tells us that because the only hope for mankind is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Savior of the world. He came into the world to save sinners. He shed his blood to wash us and to cleanse us. He came into this world, the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring us back to God. And so the gospel is hid to people. They'll be lost for all eternity. You have maybe family members tonight. They're not saved. If this message doesn't come by power to their souls and to their hearts, they'll be lost for all eternity. They may be neighbors, maybe friends, maybe people in the congregation. The gospel remains hid is hid to them that are lost. And that's a very sobering thought tonight in the Gospel of Christ. Can I say a last thing very quickly about the heart of the Saviour? Satan hides the Gospel, but thank God it is the Lord who uncovers it. He does it in two ways, just quickly there you see in verse 5, the preaching of his servants. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. He sends them out to preach. Remember he said, go into all the world and preach the Gospel to every creature. Well, I'm glad the Lord saved me, and I'm glad the Lord has called me, and he sent me out into this land at this particular time to preach and to proclaim the glorious message of the Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how God is dealing, going to deal with people. It's how he's going to save people. And so we go out with this message. There's the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that is not enough. It's not enough to save people. It's part of the plan. We have to say that tonight. The preaching of his servants, the power of the Spirit of God. Look at verse 6. It says, for God, who commandeth the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God sends the light. The power of the Spirit of God comes upon people and he brings them into the light. He brings them from darkness to light. He brings them from sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we not sing that hymn sometimes? At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart, it rolled away. What happened to us when we could see it? God sent the light. He took away the veil that was on our hearts and minds. And we were brought to see our need of Jesus Christ and how the Lord Jesus is the Savior of the world. And we came to put our faith and trust in him. And he saved us. So the only hope for anyone, of course, is the Gospel. The Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, a thing amazed me when I got saved was this. That the Gospel was preached in my village. I'm from a little village outside Markie Till. It's called Glen Ann. And in that corner, a Corkish corner you call it, there's a little CWU hall. Now it's run down today, I must confess. But when I grew up, there was a wee hall. I went to children's meetings. Never learnt nothing. I really heard nothing about the Gospel. But nevertheless, there was meetings on there every Sunday night. And after I got converted, I couldn't believe it. I started to go to those meetings. The Gospel was being preached in my village all my life. And I didn't know it. I didn't know it. I could have fired a stone across and hit the hall from my front door. And the Gospel was being preached in my village and they didn't know it because the devil had hid the Gospel. When I did a driving mission last year in my village and around the homes, and to many people in my village that I grew up in, the Gospel still hid. The Gospel still hid. The hidden Gospel. Oh, we find the hand of Satan, the hell for sinners, but oh, we thank God for the heart of the Saviour. Send the light. We need to pray that. We need to pray for this congregation. We need to pray for the work of our brother here, Mr. Park, and others who serve the Lord on our mission field. Send the light. Send the light. Do we not sing it? We need the Lord to send the glorious light of the Gospel to our beloved province and to see many people saved. I trust the Lord and bless those few wee thoughts to our heart here tonight. I want to thank the minister, Mr. Park, the session committee, for the opportunity to come and to give a report for my work for the Lord. I'm an evangelist under the Free Presbyterian Mission Board, as you know. I want to turn back the clock just a few years, to give you up-to-date report on happenings. 2020, January, February, was a special time in my ministry because I had just completed 30 years as an evangelist in under the Free Presbyterian Church. I commenced in 1990, as you'll see a little thing maybe up here in DVD, in the Orange Hall in Silent Valley in Kilkeel. And so I went back and I did a mission to commemorate that commencement of my evangelism there in the Silent Valley. And then I had to go over there to help out in Tasmania. Reverend Hall was coming back and went over to Tasmania to look after the work there. And then we all know what happened. There was a thing called COVID arrived on the scene and I'm stuck down under. And then a report comes, if you want to get home, you better get on the plane. Well, It was nice and warm down there, really, in Tasmania. And if I wanted home, I didn't want to be stuck down under. So on the plane, and I thought, well, I'll come home. And, well, in a few weeks, this whole thing's done and dusted. Well, we all know the story, don't we? It was not done and dusted. It's still not done and dusted. Well, that meant that my work closed down because I didn't have a congregation. I didn't have a church. And they were furloughed, and we had to be both locked up a bit in the study, give ourselves to study and reading and all the rest of it, what we could do for the Lord, little bits on the internet as well. And but that was a big blow. That was a massive blow because I was usually busy doing door-to-door work, missions and all the rest. And the next minute, no, it's not on, cancelled. And that was a massive blow to me. So we wondered what we were going to do. And it went on into the summer. And then in the summer, we thought I could talk to Carl Maxwell, who's well known in the Free Presbyterian Church. And I was chatting to him. I said, Carl, you fancy go and join up and maybe go out and do some open-air preaching throughout Northern Ireland, throughout different places. And he was up for it as well because his work had really closed down as well. So we approached the mission board and we put the proposal to them that we were thinking of joining up together, getting a speaker, a little table, some books and Bibles and the rest of it, and going out then, out in the open air, into the streets. And that's what we did. The two of us are doing it even up to this day. We still go out and do street work. Out on the streets with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We go through different towns. We do Newry. We'd be in Wern Point, Dungannon, Armagh, Portadown, Belfast. We've been to Dublin, Newton Arts, a lot of towns throughout our province. We go around, we set up, we play hymns, preach the gospel, and we give out tracts to people. And the wonderful thing about it is this. We're bringing the glorious message of the gospel out to the people of Northern Ireland. Send the light. God has different ways of working, you know. He has different methods of working. And so he got us out onto the streets. And the thing about it is we're reaching the lost with the glorious message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes we know, of course, people don't take tracts. That's the way it is. But then, of course, there are people who do take tracts. And the thing about Northern Ireland is this. We're mostly tolerated. That's a wonderful thing about preaching the gospel in Northern Ireland. Even in a Roman Catholic town, people generally put up with us. And give us a bypass, as the Bible says. And so we're mostly tolerated. That doesn't mean we haven't had any bother. Sometimes we're threatened with the police. One boy actually did get the police tell us one time to come. It was in Moy. The police arrived. We had just finished. Somebody reported us and got the police. And then some people threatened us with the police. I remember being in Hillsborough. We only arrived in Hillsborough. And we're just setting up our wee speaker, and I don't know where this man came from. I thought maybe he dropped out of the sky or somewhere. He's right up in my nose, right in front of Colin and I. And he says, there's no way yous are preaching in this town or this village. No way. We have five churches, and you're not preaching. Have you a permit for this and all the rest of it? So we were sort of as if he winded me. You know, we weren't expecting it. So at last he was told, he said he's going for the police. So we just told him, go and get the place. Colin said it, and then I said to him, go and get the place. Go and get the place, we said. You go and get them. And the police come, we'll talk to them. And we put the speaker up and preached away and sang away. And it was a lovely summer's day, and we sat down in the summer's yet, and we're waiting for the place to come. And there's about four cars drove past. I don't know why they had to go to Specsavers or what, but they didn't see us. Didn't come at all, really. I don't think the man actually went, but you get that opposition sometimes, and we do get threatened. And some people says to me, I'm calling, I'm going to get the police. I always say to them, go and get them. The boy said to me, Lurgan, I'm going for the police. You phone the police there, and I tell you what, stand beside me till they come. I says, no problem. And the wonderful thing about it is this, and I learned it because we were in Newcastle, and we were asked to move, and we did move because the woman asked nicely. And then we're back again, and we're asked to move again. So this is council property. So I said, I'm going to look into this matter. I says, because she says this is council property. And I says, well, do you want me to stand over on the other side of the street and preach? Well, I said, I'm going to look into this matter. And so we did. A long story short, we contacted the Christian Institute and a counsellor up there in Newry. And between them, we got a letter because I had to go to the council, and the council wrote back and told me I had to get £5 million public liability, I had to jump through this hoop and that hoop and do somersaults to preach the gospel. So we got a letter, the Christian Institute wrote a great letter. Of course, written, my name was on the bottom of it. You didn't think it was my letter, but they gave it to me. They wrote it for me. And they were asked to show, if they say I had to do this, they were asked to show their legal powers that I had to do this. So put them on the back foot. Show us then, what law? And they had to come back. I know what they said. To preach away. And that was a real victory. We took them on. But they didn't want us standing in Newcastle. Actually, in Newcastle today. And I come to that in a minute. We're doing a mission in the middle of the street. Just beside where they told us to move. We preached the gospel in the middle of Newcastle today. And that was a real victory. I was delighted with that. Because we had the liberties in Northern Ireland to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We meet all types of people on the streets. I remember being in Dungannon one day. There was a lady going past. And she was carrying two bags. And I think it was her husband was with her. And I says, well, you're doing a bit of shopping. I was giving out the tracks. And she said, it's liquid shopping. And I looked and there she had two bags of drink. I said, oh, you're not on the drink, are you? You know, but the old lady told me how she had lost a daughter tragedy. And her heart was broken. And she knew all her answer. But you know, I was glad on the street when I met her. I had the answer for her. The Lord Jesus said, come unto me all, ye that labour and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So you meet people down in the very depths of despair, down in the bottom of the pit of sin. A young man in Warren Point one time was walking past this great big Alsatian dog. He was on drugs. He told me about how he was a drug addict, how he ended up in prison. His life was wrecked. But you know, had a wonderful opportunity to talk to him about the Lord Jesus Christ and give him a copy of the Bible. I would never have met him, you know, if you weren't standing on the street with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Good to see you, the open airs here. And bringing the gospel out onto the streets to people. You meet a lot of people. And that young man, I encouraged him. There's a Baptist church in Warren Point. It's a very Roman Catholic town, is Warren Point. And I encouraged him to go to that church. I met the pastor one time. He's a nice man. And I don't know where he went or not. So we're out on the streets. You're meeting all these types of people. And then sometimes we meet God's people, and that's an encouragement to them. We meet God's people who's maybe struggling, their family's not saved, and they come over to encourage us, and we get chats with them. One day in Balm Bridge, there was a thing in the paper, and it said about open-air preaching in the town. They were against it. Now, it wasn't Colin and I, it was other fellows were in. They caused a bit of disturbance about their methods and their message. And it was all in the front page of the Balmbridge Chronicle. And that morning, Colin and I was going to do open air. We're in Balmbridge. If you know Balmbridge, there's two roads up, and we stand in the centre reserve in the middle of it. And we stood up and put our sign up and table up. And there we are, preaching away. And I saw this car come up here, and he just pulled up. And he stopped in one of the lanes, and this man got out. He's a well-built man. And he's coming over to us, and I was going to say to Colin, just hold this a wee minute here, or let Colin push him to the front. And the boy walked over, and he just put his hand out, and he shook her hand. He says, it's great to see you fellas out on the street preaching. I was ashamed when I read the paper this morning, what they're saying in Balmbridge. And he gave us, what we could say, the right hand of fellowship. That was the right hand we were looking for at that time. So it's been encouragement to people as we're right onto the streets of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're doing, we do street work when we can. Colin's with me at the moment. We do street work, open airs around different towns. And then we had an opportunity to do drive-in missions. And that happened last year. There were Mother Glass, Market Hill, Moneyslane, Glenann, Hillsborough, Tully Vaughan, right up on the border in South Armagh, not far from where I was brought up. And it was a gloomy night some nights. You wonder who's going to come. But, you know, we thank the Lord that people came out and they sat in a motor vehicles. In Moneyslane, there was a couple of people came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And people are really blessed by the drive-in mission. And even asked us to go another week. And that's, you know, it's a real encouragement when you hear God's people saying, don't want the mission to end. We want to go another week. So we really enjoyed the drive-in gospel meetings, and we've been doing them. Now, I do holiday Bible clubs and 5-day clubs as well for children when I'm asked. and did some in Kikil and on along, and through that work, Mr. Harris was saying that there are some new children have come to the children's meeting. He's been really encouraged by that. I remember going into that house in Sheet one day, and the young boys and girls were going about, and all you heard them saying, "There's the Bible man. There's the Bible man." And you know, I have many nicknames in my life growing up. I'll not tell you, but I had many nicknames. But you know, to hear a young one saying, "There's the Bible man," I thought, well, it's not wonderful to be known in the village among the children as the Bible man. Even in Guildford, I did a mission and went into the estate one day, and next minute all I heard saying, "There's the Bible man. There's the Bible man." So it's wonderful to have that testimony. Where is it? It's on the streets. We've got to bring the gospel out to people. We've got to evangelize. We've got to knock doors, as you see more about in DVD. We've got to proclaim this message that Jesus saves and his blood washes whiter than the snow. And so we go out. And we go out with drive-in meetings, holiday Bible clubs, children's work. And then we do calendar work there in Hilltown. That's done in December. And we go around Hilltown. It's a real Roman Catholic town, of course. We knock at doors and we give out calendars. I've been doing that over a number of years now, and we give out gospel tracts. And we thank the Lord. Just excuse me for. We thank the Lord for that opportunity to do that. So we're doing open airs, we're still doing open airs, but I was looking for the opening up of gospel missions, for that's what I do. I'm an evangelist, door to door visitation, and gospel meetings. And we thank the Lord that the doors have opened up again. After the week of prayer, and then later I had to go over to England to speak in Lewis, and then we went to the mission in Bessbrook, just outside Newry. And Bessbrook's a bit like a home village to myself. I used to play in the pipe band there, I worked there, I got my wife there, so it's really nearly second home to me, Bessbrook. And we did the Bessbrook Town Hall, and we did a mission there under Mother Glass. The church supported us. We had a good mission. Hard to get people out, of course. Us really around about. We know all over the land today. But we had a good mission. And they were all saved, came in to hear the word of God. And then we're doing a mission at the moment. It's actually in the middle of the mission in Newcastle. We applied to the local primary school in Newcastle. And so I waited and waited. And I thought, they're not going to give us a school. And next minute we got word, you can do the mission if you want to. So we're doing a 2-week mission at the moment. This is the second week of it. We've been out around the doors the week before it, and we're knocking doors, preaching the gospel. We're out on the street there this afternoon in the middle of Newcastle, and we preached and did an open air meeting. Now it's very difficult to get people into Newcastle, the mission. I had to say that. And really, at the moment, if you're talking about strangers coming in unsaved, there's nobody. There's some people from the Brethren. The Brethren Hall has actually come into this mission before. 5 of them come in. I mean, before, people has come in from the Brethren to hear the word of God. So that has been really good. But the unsaved have been in because God's people's bringing them. They're coming from our churches and they're saying, come to the mission. And so there has been unsaved in to hear the word of God. Now, if all our missions planned, and we can go over to Lewis and April, to do some speaking over there, and then we're going to Shankill Road, and they're going to do a mission on the Shankill, and they're going to go to Garver, and they're going to go to Bambridge. I think Colin's going to get in his wee van, he's going to go down south again, but there's other missions to be done. So pray for us that God will open up the door to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I really do ask that for God's people. I want to say this in closing. I want to thank God's people. There's no people like God's people. I've learned that. I've been saved now a number of years. There's no people like God's people. They are the salt of the earth. And I don't say that lightly, because I wouldn't be standing here tonight. I know God has called me and all the rest of it, but I would not be standing here tonight and preaching in the Free Church but for God's people, because that's how it operates under the mission board. I have to build up my support. I have to go around the churches and ask God's people, can you support me financially, my account, so I can preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And people have risen to that, and people have given that. And now anyone here who gives to that, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for your support financially as I seek to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those who do support us prayerfully, and certainly we do thank you for that. Remember, our land needs the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our land's in darkness. and great sin is sweeping over our nation and over our land. But we're glad we're able to go out and to preach the great message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So pray for us. I know Colin's with me at the moment. He'd probably be going down south sometime, and Mr. Smith and I are going to do a mission in Banbridge and so on. But pray for us as we proclaim the glorious message of the gospel. And I trust the next time I'll be able to come back to you and tell you the great things that the Lord has done. We have had little encouragements. A boy came over to us in Dromore. We were doing an open air, and he said, "I've just come over to tell you, after you did the mission in Hillsborough," we did a drive-in mission in Hillsborough. He says, "After you did that mission," he says, "my son got saved." And he says, his girlfriend got saved. They went away and got married. And he was really encouraged. And someone was talking to someone last night, was telling about also someone else they had heard after one of her missions that they had come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So one sows and one reaps. But as long as they come to the Lord Jesus, then I'm very happy with that. So thank you very much for able to come along and give a report. Now, I was told to push a button, but I hope I can remember which one it was. Yes, I think I know. All right, and I hope you can see it.
You have to push it a
second time. I maybe go through this roof. Huh?
You push it the first time, then the second time.
Right. One of the things about the fans is meeting people, and sometimes I think the Lord's given me the gift of the gab with some people, because I love meeting people. It doesn't could be in the airplane, it could be in the bus, and I just love meeting people, bit of chat, and we talk about things, and then I try to make it round. I don't mean I always get it round, and I would never suggest that, but I like meeting people, and I like chatting to them, and I try to bring it round, and they might say to me, "What do you work at?" Well, if they ask me what you've worked at, well then, generally that's what I work. I'm evangelist, I preach the gospel, but you believe in God yourself. And then surely, generally doors open up and you get opportunities. A long life's journey, I had to say, in telling people the way of salvation. Well, I was born and brought up in a little village called Glen Ann, just outside Market Hill. And lived there for a number of years. There was 10 in our family. I wasn't really a religious family at all, so we were sent to Sunday school to get confirmed and all through the church, but no interest. For years I was living for the world, and loved football, played pipe bands, went to the bars, everything. But there was always something missing in my life. I didn't know what it was at all that was missing. And a gospel mission came to my village in 1983, and I was one of the last people you ever expected in that mission. The Lord brought me into that mission. And I heard the answer at night. Heard that Christ was the answer. For 2 years, I was under real conviction of sin. And I was on the drinking night before. And Saturday morning I woke up and I said, "Lord, I'm coming home." I looked out through the window. What a fall of snow had been. What a fall of snow. But I went downstairs and I drove through the snow, and I drove up to the minister of the Free Presbyterian Church that time, knocked the door, and 2 years after the mission, I says, "Can you show me how to be saved?" He says, "I can." And I got saved that day and came home, and they all thought I was mad. You know, "Oh, something's happened to Noel. Something's happened to him." And I wasn't too long saved, and I had a burden, of course, in my heart for the unsaved. I used to tell my friends at work about being saved. I told Joan, my family, I was telling everybody that I had found Christ and needed Jesus Christ to be their saviour. And I wasn't too long saved until I felt God working in my heart, that God was going to call me into ministry. And I sought the Lord, and of course he called me, and he told me to do a work in evangelist. And I found what I had to do. So I entered the Whitfield College of Bible in 1987, and so to about 1989, and so it was. In 1990, I started full-time evangelism, and I actually started in Sine Valley Orange Hall in Kilkeel. That was my first mission. And up I came, full of seed, of course, get out knocking doors and trying to bring this great message of the gospel to people of Christ. Yeah. So that was how I started out in the work as a full-time evangelist in Northern Ireland.
The work of evangelism has taken me not outside Northern Ireland. Just I always haven't been. I never wanted to leave Northern Ireland because I'm a homeboard. And I've been in England, Scotland, Wales, and of course further afield. I've been in Australia maybe 6 or 7 times. I've been out round that world, Tasmania, bringing the gospel to people. And I've been an opportunity to go to America and to serve the Lord there for a short period of time. And also in Kenya. And it was lovely to go to Kenya as well and to see the National Church, how they work and operate. Tremendous opportunity of preaching the gospel in Kenya. It really was remarkable because there people would come to hear you, and that was very encouraging. Now, I had to get an interpreter, of course, somebody to translate and all the rest of it. But nevertheless, there was great opportunity. It was lovely to do that work and to bring the gospel to that people, because it doesn't matter where you go. There's only one answer. Isn't that right? Christ is the answer. It doesn't matter what country you're from. And that was the way. We've had opportunity. Well, thank you. It's just really the goodness of God to me to further the field, of course, to bring the gospel out, to further the field out into the world with this great news of the gospel of Christ. So part of my evangelism is door-to-door evangelism. Well, that's going out to homes, up and down lanes, country, towns, villages, to homes, bringing the gospel to the doorstep of people. And that's, I do that in certain ways. Now, I do a gospel campaign, of course. I go to the door, knock, and I introduce myself, who I am, and ask them about the mission, come to the mission, and try to bring it round to them if I can, you know, when the opportunity arises. And so I do that sort of work, of course, in my door-to-door evangelism. And I do find, of course, you preach more to unsaved people out there than in the church, in the mission. You'll get some, of course, come, and it's great to see them coming to the mission. But generally speaking, you speak more to the unsaved about Christ out on the streets, around the house estates in the countryside, and their doorstep. You get opportunities, may it just be little words about, well, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and you must trust him. And so I do it with missions, and then sometimes I do calendar work in Hilltown. It's a Roman Catholic town, and I go over there in December time, and I go on my calendars, and I go around the homes and knock the doors, and get my little calendar and gospel tracts. So I do that sort of work. Sometimes churches would maybe say, no, could you help out? They're doing a mission, and maybe do some door-to-door work. We go do some outreach work for them, go into the town and say, go and evangelize that town, tell them about your church services, what's going on, and give out the gospel in different ways of that. So there's a lot of work out there, bringing the gospel out into all the world. It is a work that has to be done. Very important work, and of course it's a good work to do, but the thing, you don't know who's behind the door. That's the thing about it. Every door is different, every person's different who you meet, and you do get opportunities to present the gospel. But I have to say, generally speaking, and I really do say this, of all people are generally enough nice to me. And very few now, doesn't mean I've never been chased. I have been chased. Or it doesn't mean I've never been bitten by a dog. I have been bitten by a dog. But generally speaking, it doesn't matter who it is, and I've been around a lot of areas over the years. Generally speaking, I get acceptance with people about the Lord Jesus. I remember one time my family bought me an airplane ticket for it. Well, a little plane here around the Bourne. For my special birthday. I'm not going to do a number game. But I got up into this plane, and my wife came with me, and the boy took us all around the whole, the mountains, all around the countryside. And you know, when I was away up there, one of the things that spoke to me, I could look down, and I could see all the homes that I have been in. I could look up around little country roads, farmhouses, all over for miles, all around this whole community. And I could say, I've been up them lanes and around them homes with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that encouraged me, because the Lord is over all, and we're sowing the gospel seed of Jesus Christ. And in my evangelism, of course, I do gospel missions. Of course, that contains doing door-to-door visitation before the missions, go around the homes and fighting people, giving out tracts and getting little witness around the homes. And I may stay, of course, maybe a week or two or three weeks, whatever it is, maybe, just depends what the churches want in the area at that particular time. And we preach in Orange Halls, churches has me as long as dollar little places. We put up a portable hall sometimes, which is good in the field, and I like those sort of type of meetings as well. Good spirit, where there's old country meetings out in the portable halls behind the heads, as the boy says. And so we do this for the work, yeah, and we spend time in preaching the gospel and just trusting indeed the Lord to speak to many hearts and bring people in. Hard to get people in sometimes, that's what we find sometimes. It's hard to get people in to gospel campaigns, but it's just wonderful to know that we have a God who's over all. I know it keeps me encouraged how God brought me in. You know, Mission came to my village and I was one of the last people he says ever been in that meeting. And that's one of the things that always encourages me in my missions. I remember, but God brought me into a mission. If he brought me in and spoke to me, well, then he can still do it. He's still God of great power and of great mercy. I do find evangelism sometimes when we go out to missions. When we go into an orange hall, put a portable hall up, sometimes put tents up, and you get people in who probably will be very hard to get in through the door. And you do look down, you see people come in, maybe coming out of curiosity, what's going on here, that little portable hall, that little tent you've put up, and that. So you do find that people sometimes come into those places more so in the church. Now, certainly missions should be held in churches and all for them, and no doubt about that. And certainly we do thank the Lord for that opportunity of preaching churches for missions and to see people brought in to hear the word of God. Working in my work in evangelism, of course, involves working with children. And of course I do that when I'm asked, and normally my work is with adults, it's gospel campaigns, door-to-door visitation, but when I do ask, I do work with boys and girls, and so that would entail going out 5-day clubs. Some churches have it going around a little community here in the summertime. We get them all out, get the accordion out and singing and telling the gospel. And then of course there's children's missions in our churches. Some of our churches will have me along to do a children's mission. So I think it's very important, of course, to reach the boys and girls. And I love bringing the word of God to boys and girls. It's a part of my ministry that I like. I like a variation of it, of course, you say. So probably maybe around the summertime there would, you know, really would be doing holiday Bible clubs and out on the estates with the boys and girls. So it's a wee bit of a difference for myself. But it's important to reach the little ones with the gospel of Christ as well. I remember knocking doors one time in a particular in the gospel campaign, and a girl came out and knocked the door and says, how you doing? And she said to me, I could save to one of your children's mission one year. Well, I never knew a thing. You know, I never remember. So that was really encouraging. So even with the boys and girls, and to see that sometimes in churches, you see them growing up and you know you've been speaking to them over the years in churches, and then later on you meet them and they're growing on with the Lord and that. So that is encouraging for us to see as well. So another part really of my work is speaking around our churches, and I thank the Lord for the opportunity of doing that. Of course, go around our churches, there's empty pulpits and they're always looking at supplies in all our churches. So a lot of Sundays of the year we'll be around our local churches here. Of course, it brings me across to England sometimes and other places to fill in the empty pulpits there as well. So it's lovely to go around the churches and to say, well, here's up-to-date report and what's happening, and you just trust indeed that people's hearts will be touched and to support us at the throne of grace in this work. It's good that people pray for me, and it encourages them. Of course, need to be kept safe, you know, we're out there in the world and you don't know what's out there, what you're going to face and so on. And pray for opportunities that people will listen to, you know, what we're going to say, and that the word we do bring will find a resting place in the hearts of people. When you're moving around areas with the gospel of Christ, we don't really know what God accomplished through our ministry. I know my labour is not in vain, the Lord. That is one thing that keeps you going. And only for that, the word of the Lord, of course, encourages us to keep going on, keep sowing the seed of the gospel of Christ. And you go into an area and you do it, and you just know what really is happening. But, you know, sometimes you might hear down the line of things happening to people, that people has been converted, who's come to Christ, whatever, you know. And so really, as you know, our work is a work of faith. And God works in the result department. And that's not my department. My department is publishing the good news of the gospel of Christ being the way, the truth, and the life. And I belong to pray for revival. Oh, I'd love to see that. I'd love to see the breath of God and take us back to the old-fashioned meetings and the old-fashioned power, the old-fashioned preaching of the Word of God, and to see people converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the God's people, along with myself, we would all lift up our voice and cry to God, will thou not revive us again? Do it again, Lord. Turn this whole land again. I trust I see it. I trust I see the breath of God. Before finished, a few years yet to me yet at the preaching, but before, I would long to see that. Sometimes I think we can get very slack as believers. We're saved, we're happy, we have everything, really look around us, we can come to place, but I think we can lose that burden, but my God never take it from my heart, and I trust the people who listen, but never take that away from us. So sometimes I fear we can lose the burden, the vision, that people are lost. We've got to stop and realise, as believers, no matter where you're from, look outside, there's a world that's perishing. You know, there's people perishing in their sin without Jesus Christ. And there may be family, maybe neighbours, maybe friends, whatever, but they're lost and heading down towards hell. How can we stop them? That's, the only way we can stop them is the gospel. And we've got to bring the gospel to people.
I'm sure you've been challenged, and we trust that the Lord will bless you in your ministry and open up the doors now and these missions that are going to take place, that the Lord will be there working in hearts and moving in the souls of men, bringing them to Christ. Do you remember the retiring offering is a deputation offering tonight to support Noel in his work, and we encourage you to give as you can. Continue to pray for the situation in Ukraine. We are with these people in the midst of their sorrow and sadness. Over 10 million displaced, well over 3 million now refugees. And the bombing was coming very, very near House of Hope. So we're praying for these old folks and disabled people that they will be kept and protected. You know, in Bethany Baptist Church, they were taking in refugees. And I heard this week that business family that I told you about, the man who had a business in Ukraine, everything that he had was bombed. He lost everything. He came to Timișoara and stayed in the church for a little time. That first Sunday that he was there, he wept through the meetings. And when they talked to him afterwards, you remember, he said, my grandfather was a Baptist pastor. And I think he said his sister was saved. But he said, I had no time for God, no time for the gospel. I live for business. And he became a great businessman. He lost everything. And he made the comment, maybe this is the way that God is speaking to me, to show me that I need Christ. Then he moved on somewhere else for a little time, came back to the church a few weeks ago, and we heard that both he and his wife have got saved. And this coming Sunday night, they will be baptized. So that was good news this week. Remember this wee project, the ambulances that are going out. Donald has purchased two ambulances, and they have been loaded with equipment and supplies, medical supplies. I think it was tens of thousands of pounds of medical supplies they were able to get over £3,000. So that will help out there. And the ambulances are leaving from Wales. They actually purchased them there. And this was the Welsh church coming in.
Father, we are thankful, Lord, for the privilege that we have to serve you, Lord. We're thankful for the fact that we belong to a body of Christ that just surpasses all.
These folks got some medical supplies that have been sent out who needed it. So just to let you know, the money that's been sent is being well used. And then just to tell you a very interesting story, I got a phone call this morning from a man that I didn't know. And he said, I want to give a gift to this project, and I'll call sometime today. That was about it as far as the phone conversation went. And then just around lunchtime, this car pulled up at the house, and this man and his wife got out, and that's what they handed over. It was quite amazing. He had driven all the way from Carrickfergus. He said that he would listen in to our wee videos on a Sunday morning, and he had heard about this project, and he and his wife said, we've got to do something. And so there's a large container of pennies and 2p's that the treasurer has to count one by one. We did hear today that the Danske Bank has a machine that counts it all, and maybe other banks have it too, so it'll be easy done. But it was a ton weight. It really was, just to lift that container in. And then he said, there's a jar of pound coins, and he says, I think there's about £300 in that. And he says, and there's a wee envelope, and there's £500 in it. I was just amazed that he had come so far. I don't know who he is. He gave me his name, but I don't know the man at all. These are the refugees, as you know, that we're hoping to receive. They were to be here on Tuesday, but they haven't got their visas yet. So you pray that this will all come through in God's time, and that these folk will get here as quickly as possible. These are the families and the individuals that we are receiving. I want to thank again all that have helped. It's been amazing what has been done and accomplished, and so many people coming on board and helping in many, many ways. Contributions, time, effort, work that was all put in, and this was happening yesterday. So this shower unit was donated for a year, if we needed for a year, and the crane man came in free of charge to get it lifted to where it needed to go. It was a huge project. We couldn't have lifted it by ourselves, but he did it. So there it is, being set in just behind the Carson complex here. The bedrooms are all ready, so I want to thank those that came in to prepare these beds for the refugees, and wee gifts that have been given just to encourage them when they arrive. Some of you have visited upstairs and you've seen what has been done. It's been really amazing. And some of the folks then, we got just taking a wee break after work that was done. Kitchen's all ready as well for them to come. And over at the manse, we prepared the attic rooms. So there's been a major upheaval there for the good to receive these folks in. So I've got a confession to make. Isn't confession good for the soul? My wife went into my study. I'm going to tell you this. You know, I don't always tell things, but my wife went into my study yesterday, and she opened the door. I think the children were looking for something. And when she opened the door, there was water hitting her on the head. Just drip, 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 you see. So it didn't look good. She checked everywhere that was visible. No sign of water. So I went up, and I thought, you know, this water seems to be coming from the middle of one of these rooms that we had prepared. So we had to get a plumber out yesterday in an emergency. So Sammy was available. He came immediately. And sure enough, there it was, right in the middle of the room. Do you know what happened? I had a squeaky floorboard. And I thought, well, I'm going to get rid of that squeaky floorboard. And I drove in the screw nails a few days ago. Maybe it was last week. It was last week. And I drove it into the wrong place, you see. So when he unscrewed the thing, all you hear is shh, and he screwed it back in again and got the water and all turned off and got the thing fixed anyhow. So it was quite miraculous. It was the same pipe, and I had two screw nails into the same pipe. At least it was just the one that needed to be replaced. So there you are. That's what happened. All excitement yesterday. We're praying for Timothy and Rhoda, the missionaries in Ukraine as well. The bombing was getting very, very near their place. So do remember them. We remember Mark in hospital, ongoing treatment that he is receiving. He will be moved to the Musgrave. He'll be there for a few weeks. They're trying to get him back onto his feet. He is numb from his waist down, so there's just a lot going on there in his life. You pray for him that he'll be encouraged. And Joan Gibson, I want to thank you for praying for Susan's mum. She was pretty ill at the beginning of the week. Over the weekend, she went to hospital last Friday. But this past few days, there's been a remarkable improvement, we have to say, and things seem to be going in the right direction. So thank you again in the Lord's name. Our sister Madge Bevan has some therapy to receive, some radiotherapy. Was to start on Monday, but that's been postponed for a week. Maureen got home. Our sister Ma, just remember her up in the home there. She needs encouragement. Brother Nigel and his situation. And then we've been asked to pray for Jessica Peden's mum, Rosalind. So do remember these folks at the throne of grace and prayer. Just to conclude this part, we're going to sing 532, Above Thine Own Ambitions Here. Another voice is sounding clear. It is the call of God to thee. O leave thy all and follow me. Go through with God, all of you tonight, young and old. Maybe there's some young people here and the Lord is dealing with you. Go through with God. Thy vows to pay, thy life upon the altar lay. The Holy Ghost will do the rest and bring to thee God's very best. And that's what you want. You want the very best that God has for you. And you can only obtain that when you go through with God, when you lay all on the altar for him. Keep in mind Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. That speaks about presenting your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's not unreasonable. God never asks us to do anything that is unreasonable. You give your life to him. There on the altar of sacrifice, it's the least that we can do. Let's sing the hymn together.
Holy, my own.
We'll be coming to our little time of prayer just for a few minutes tonight as we close the meeting. But I want to thank those that have joined us on the internet tonight and you've been part of this service. May the Lord bless you where you are. May you go through with God and your vows to pay to Him and know the very best that God has for you. So we say good night to those on the internet. Thank you.